fervency, excitement, elation, wonderment, bewilderment, amazing excitement, wonderful, terrific, magnificent, stupendous, expialidocious, all that other good stuff. Amen. 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 You got it. Let's give him a big hand of encouragement. We had about 20 at, oh, we got one more. Let's not leave her out. Come on down, little Miss Diva. You got your own march. All right. Amen. Youth church. Hey, usher in training too. Let's give them a big hand of encouragement as they come or as they go. To God be the glory. All right, saints, why don't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bible. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 36, 34. Yep, that is right. And we want to read at verse number 26. We're going to read 26 as our main verse. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 26. Say amen when you've located the text. Amen. 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 And as we're continuing to turn there, remember Ezekiel is one of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. So we catch them right before the minor prophets. And Ezekiel's book is a long one, but a fascinating one. And so we thank the Lord for him and it. Amen, somebody. I am going to, while you're turning, thank God for again for this choir. Didn't it not bless us with a great song of praise? And for the effectual fervency of prayer, we want to thank God. I know that a few of you are going to the hospital tomorrow. And names being called, and notwithstanding, we are praying for Deacon Parham and a few others of you who may be having challenge and or procedure coming up. But God is able, isn't he? He is able in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to back you up one verse, and I want you to look at 25 as well. It says, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessings. And that exactly from that text do I take the title of today's sermon. I invite you to pray with me on today's title of today's sermon, which is Showers of Blessings. Showers of blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your word would not return void. That which you gave, that which you wrote, and that which you shall preach today, may it edify and sanctify the people of God. May it indeed illuminate minds, teach us something we did not know about you and your word. May it encourage somebody's heart, help someone to know trouble does not last always. And ultimately, oh God, I pray that somebody's soul would be convicted on today. That someone who came in here, perhaps as a visitor, perhaps to witness a baby dedication, perhaps as a member, but not having a relationship with you. Help someone, draw someone, break someone, convict someone. Let your anointing fall fresh in this place, God, and we shall be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name do we pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints, and God keep you is indeed my prayer. As you take your seats, we invite you to keep your Bibles open with us as you continue to understand that it is God's word that we base our lives. It is God's word. It is upon his word. And so it's not just the preacher's presentation. It is the preacher's hearkening back to God's word that is the basis of the sermonic presentation and the preaching moment. So let us continue to examine God's word with me. Keep your Bibles open to Ezekiel and look in those texts, if you would, with me. I want to talk today about this man whose name we know. Many of us know Ezekiel not because of chapter number 34. But we remember Ezekiel mainly because of chapter number 37. It is in chapter number 37 that we find that familiar question that God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? How many of you have ever heard a sermon preached about the valley of the dry bones? Have you ever heard a song rendered about the dry bones coming back to life? Have you ever heard a poem about the dry bones? And even though we're not preaching about the dry bones today, it is a poignant reminder that God can take that which was dead and bring it back to life. How many of you know he's a miracle working God? Just like the men rendered in song just moments ago, God can take that which was lifeless, that which was parched, that which was dry, that which had no sinew, no muscle, no nothing but simply scattered bones in the valley. God can take those bones and breathe life back into them. And not only did he breathe life back into them, he can bring sinew and muscle and bring bodies back to life. God, if he did it for Jesus, he can do it for anybody and anything. And I need someone to understand that that is the miracle working power that we ascribe to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Ishmael, the God of Deborah, and Miriam, and Keturah, and Esther. It is this God that we believe is the same God as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Eunice, and Lois, and Priscilla, and Aquila, and John on the island of Patmos, and Peter as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem. It is that same God. And what that God did for them, don't you know he can do it for you as well? Amen, somebody. So I do want you to have Ezekiel's image of dry bones, but I want you to back up three chapters and listen to God continue to speak to this major prophet of scripture and tell him and ask him questions that are rhetorical, inquisitive, that are didactic, also that are impactful to his ministry and to the nation of Israel. And in this particular text, in verse number 25, Ezekiel is engaged about a covenant. Amen, somebody. It says in verse 25 that I will make a covenant, doesn't it? And that covenant is a promise. And when you hear the word covenant in scripture, I need you to understand that covenant is a reminder that God is a promise keeper. Because a covenant is a contract. It is a statement of this is what I will do. Sometimes if you do some things and other times, even if you don't do it, God says there are conditional covenants. If you do this, I'll do that. And there are unconditional covenants. Even if you mess up, I'll still bless you, God says. And so I don't know about you, but I am grateful for God's covenants because it is a reminder that if I do some good, to God be the glory. But I'm glad he looks beyond my faults and he sees my needs, and sometimes he still blesses me even though I did not deserve it, even though I messed up, even though I fell short, even though I didn't keep his word. He still keeps his side of the bargain. He is a covenant keeper. And there are multiple covenants that we see throughout scripture. Going all the way back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, God made Adam and Eve, and he put Eve and Adam in the garden. He made what's called the Edenic covenant, the covenant of Eden. And he says, you can eat of any tree in my garden except that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you do this, you shall surely die. And so they could have lived a life of blessed peace and existence. We don't know how God would have worked it out, but sin had not entered. And how many of you know God, as long as they kept away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had it good in the Garden of Eve. I tell you, God is a promise keeper. And then when they messed up and listened to the snake, I preached about snakes a couple of weeks ago. Amen, somebody. Somebody needs to keep stomping on the devil's head and reminding the devil that he is a liar. But even when they listened to Satan and messed up, God gave him another covenant. He said, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to give you a challenge in childbirth, woman, and I'm going to make you work the land, man. And so to this day, we've got to work, y'all. We could have had it a different way had sin not entered into the world. But because they listened to Satan as opposed to listen to God, God was faithful to keep not only the Edenic covenant, but the Adamic covenant. And out of that covenant, we understood other covenants came into being. In Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Come on, somebody. That's the good news right there. Because not everybody intends your good. There's some folk who are cursing you. But you need to thank God that God's taking care of them. The more they curse you, the more God will take care of them. But on the flip side, the more folk bless you, the more God's going to bless somebody. And he says to Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars are in the sky and as the sands are upon the field. And don't you know that that old song that we learned in Sunday school when I was 5 and 6, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's just bless the Lord. Come on, somebody. I am a spiritual descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can trace my lineage back. Why? Because Jesus came from David. David came from Judah. Judah came from the lineage of Isaac. Jacob. Jacob came from the lineage of Isaac. Isaac came from the lineage of Abraham. Whether you go forward or go back, you and I are covered under the blood because Jesus is in the lineage. The blood is on us. We are in the lineage. I am a son of Abraham. You are a daughter of Abraham. And so therefore God is a promise keeper. If you're still getting blessed now, God is still keeping his promise. Amen, somebody. And so the covenants are truth. They are real. The Bible speaks about covenants. Jeremiah 31:31 says, a new covenant I shall make with you. I shall no longer write it on paper, but I'll put it inside of your heart, Jeremiah. And so therefore, we understand that the indwelling of God's presence inside of us is a reminder that he's not just around us, he's inside of us. And even when you can't see him, he's there. Come on, somebody. Even when you can't put your hand on him, he's there. He's with me. He's present with me. He's Emmanuel. He's walking with me. He's talking with me. He is letting me know that I am his own. The covenants, people, the covenants are reminders of God's faithfulness to you and to me. And so here in Ezekiel, the nation of Israel find themselves in a messed up situation like often they did. God needed to deliver them, but they were disobedient at moments in their historical and national life. And so they went through ups and downs and deliverance and falling back and sin cycles is what I call them. And so Ezekiel and the people of God find themselves in a messed up situation. But God says, I'll make a covenant. I'll make you a promise. I shall bless you. I'll keep you. I know you've been through some things, but I need you to hold on because it's about to get better. You don't see it right now. You don't know how it's going to happen. And I need someone to stay right there. You are like the nation of Israel. You are in a valley of dry bones. You are in a messed up situation. You are in a place where you don't know how you're going to get out of it. But I just stop by to tell somebody that God is still in the blessing business. A covenant I'll make, he says in verse 25. But here's the part I want to really dwell on is in verse 26. I want to use three words to explicate and elucidate the text, to exegete the text and make it live a little better than perhaps what you are reading on the scripture. I'm going to look at verse number 20, these three words. I want to talk about heal, shower, and blessing. And these three words are in the text. They're taken literally from verse number 26. And if I can use my alliteration of letters, words all starting with the letter, same letter, I would use these words. Heal means elevation. Shower means expectation. And blessing means exaltation. And so I want to speak to you today about elevation. I want to talk to you today about expectation. I want to talk to you today about exaltation. But I want to use the words that are right in the Bible. Look at verse number 26. Put the screen up. It says in the text, and if you want to look on the screen, I want you to look in your Bible. It says, and I will make them and the places round about my heel a blessing. That's the worst word, heal. The people and the places round about my heel. Who are the people and what are the places that are around my heel? Not my heel, but God's heel. I'm going to talk to you about God's heel in a moment. Number two is the next verse says, and I will cause the shower, come on someone, to come. And I'm going to talk to you about showers and rainfall and what water means to our lives. And then I want to end with this word of blessing. And at the end it says, there shall be showers of what? Blessing. And in the text, I need you to understand that that word blessing is not plural. It is actually singular. I will bring upon you showers of blessing. And I want you to get in your mind that that word means exaltation. To bless means to exalt. And I'm going to end on the note of what does it mean to exalt God. Let's look first at the first word, heal. Put the screen up. It says that, and going back to the first part of verse 26, and I will make them a place in the places around my heel, about my heel. And I want to share a little bit about what the heel of God really means. In the text, whenever in the Old Testament scripture, whenever you see the word heel, H-I-L-L, God referring to it as my heel, I need you to think about the name Mount Zion. I need you to think about the city of Jerusalem. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, I've been to Africa, I've been to Europe, I've been to Central America, I've been to the Caribbean, I've never been to Asia, but the one place I'm dying to get to is the Holy Land. And I pray that the Lord will delay his coming, that I could one day walk the road that Jesus walked down and see the things that Jesus saw. For the Muslims, going to Mecca is a holy pilgrimage, but for the Judeo-Christian, going to Jerusalem is a pilgrimage, because there in the city of Jerusalem was your Savior and my deliverer walked down the road to his death. I want to see the places Jesus saw. I want to hear the things that Jesus could have heard. I want to smell the things that Jesus must have smelled. I want to go into the Dead Sea and float, because it has so much salinity in it and saltiness in it. I want to walk down the River Jordan and just put my foot in there, because that's where Jesus was baptized. I want to go by where they think the Garden of Gethsemane was. I want to see the Mount of Transfiguration. I want to go to the Holy Land one day. Mount Zion. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, the one thing that we understand geographically about Mount Zion, about the city of Jerusalem, is that it is elevated upon a hill. And so therefore, you start off in a valley and you start to march your way up the hill. And Isaiah talks about a highway going upwards. Mount Zion is a figurative, but it is also a literal place. It is the figurative place, if you would, of where you and I will see Jesus and God on the other side. Y'all have heard of the 12 gates of the city, haven't you? There are 12 gates in the north. There are 12 gates in the south. There are 12 gates in the east, 12 gates in the west. That is the city of Jerusalem. It is the place where God is believed to dwell. And so literally, the city of Jerusalem is the representation of where the temple of God was. Where the temple of God was where the presence of God dwelt. Where the presence of God dwelt, there was blessings. Y'all not getting that point, are you? And so when God says, I will make a blessing of everything and everybody around my heel, it does not mean then that you start off as a blessed person, but the closer you get to God, the more blessed you become. I love this. I love this because I may have woken up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, even though I still opened my eyes. But when I got up on a Sunday morning, there was something inside of my spirit that said, I need to get to the church house. I need to go worship God. And Psalm 100 says, when I enter into his gates, I got some thanksgiving. And when I get closer into his courts, I got some praise. The closer I get to God, the louder my praise is. The closer I get to God, the more thanksgiving I have. The closer I get to God, the more I want to worship him. The closer I get to God, the more I am realizing how blessed I am. Did anybody wake up on the wrong side? But when you got to the church house, you realize that God is still in the blessing business. I don't know about you, but what this text tells me is that when I get closer to Mount Zion, the things around Mount Zion become transformed. The people become transformed. You just keep hanging around God and you just wait till God transform your situation. I thank him today. I said to someone earlier, what this text says to me is that as I go up to Mount Zion, as I go up to God's holy hill, and I may not ever get to Jerusalem, but that does not mean that I can't get closer to the presence of God. That means wherever God is, that where two or three of us are gathered, God will be right there. So I just need you to come with me. Wherever you are and wherever I am, let's join together. Let's go closer to God. Let's elevate this thing. Let's bring our praise up a little bit. Let's bring our joy up a little bit. Let's bring our excitement up a little bit. Let's bring our thanksgiving up a little bit. Let's go higher. The Bible says that the people and the things around the hill shall be transformed and shall be blessed. Here's what I like. Even if folk are hanging around God's hill and they're not getting blessed, I made up in my mind that I'm just going to keep going up the hill, because I know if you don't want to get blessed, I want to get blessed. If you don't want a blessing, get out of my way. I don't stop me from blessing him. If you don't want to pray, get out of my way. Don't stop me from praising him. If you don't want to go lie higher in God, get out of my way. Don't stop me. I made up in my mind. I can't control you. I can't control you. And I can't control you. But I can control myself. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. Because the closer and the higher I go up God's hill, the more he transforms the people and the places around about my heel. That's what the text said. Put it back up there. Y'all think I'm making this thing up? It says it. I will make them and the places about my heel a blessing. If you want a blessing, you need to purpose in your heart to go up the hill. If you want deliverance, you need to purpose in your heart to go up the hill. If you want salvation, you need to purpose in your heart. If you want a breakthrough, if you want a new job, if you want a new situation, you need to purpose in your heart to go up the hill. actions don't save us. Confession does. But confession is what God is looking for to go around the hill. And so the first word is elevation. Go up. But the second word is shower. Do the second word. The second word is shower. And the text says this in the beginning, in the middle of verse 26. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. When I thought about the word shower, first of all, the emphasis is not really on shower. It's on the expectation that the shower will come. But when I thought about the shower, I thought about water and its properties. And then my very elementary physics and science classes way back in high school reminded me that water only comes in three forms. Water only comes in gas, liquid, or solid. It doesn't come in any other form. And so when I thought about then water showers a blessing, I said, God, what are you referring to about the shower that's coming? And then God said that there are folk who are in dry places in their lives. Dry places where things are no longer growing. Dry places, your marriage might be dry. I pray not, but I know it goes up and down. But I need some folk who are true to their vows in sickness and in health. I will love you and I will cherish you until for richer or for poor, until death do us part. Just because it's dry now doesn't mean it has to stay dry forever. You need to purpose in your heart to let God turn that dry situation and turn it into a watery, a new situation. Come on, somebody. And maybe you want a dry place on your job. The boss is against you. Co-workers are envious, stabbing you in the back, undermining your work, not trying to give you help. But I need you to understand that just because you're in a dry place on your job, that God can set some water into your dry place. Come on, somebody. You might be in a dry place emotionally. Everything else seems to be going all right. Everybody around you, how's the husband? How's the wife? They're fine. How the children, they're fine. But there's just something inside of me. My spirit is dry. I'm going through the motions. But I need you to know that if you just hang on in there, that God can send some water into your dry situation. I know what I'm telling you, saints. I need you to know that God is a miracle working, mountain moving, bridge building, heavy load sharing God. He can send some water. Ask myself, God, why the word shower? God said, if I put it in this solid form, you have ice. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation when you needed some water and some ice just fell down. It takes a little while for ice to melt, and I might not have enough time to wait until the ice melt in order for me to get some water in my dry situation. God said the other form is gas, but gas is vapor, it's cloud. You can't grab it, you can't pour it into the water, into the earth. It's just glass. But now it takes a form which water will come out, because if you get enough molecules up in the air that then contact, that it begins to negatize and positivize, then you will get some water that falls down. But that too takes a while. But God said, in your situation, you need some now water. You need some water right now. You don't have time for it to melt. You don't have time for it to rain. You need some water right now. And God says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a shower. I'll rain down some water in your situation. And you just watch me turn that thing into a new situation. Does anybody need some water right now? Has God ever sent some water into your situation? God said, and I will make the shower to fall down. It means then that my expectation, and here's another part to this text that says in due season.
That means it may not rain when I need it to or when I want it to. But how many of you know it is always going to rain right on time? I heard the old folk in the church say it this way. I serve an on-time God. Yes, I do. He may not come when I want him, but he'll be there right on time. Has God ever shown up just before the devil was about to snatch you into the jaws of destruction? Has God ever shown up when your enemies had knocked you down, left you on the curb, thought you were going to die? Has God ever shown up when you didn't know how the bills were going to get paid, didn't know where the money was going to come from? Has God ever shown up when the doctor said you got 5 months to live, but now you're on your fifth year? Has God ever shown up just in the nick of time? In due season. But here's the part I like. Not only does the text say that we shall elevate up the hill of Zion. And when you are elevating your spiritual life towards God, that he'll in due season now pull you out showers. But here's the part that perplexed me a little bit. The third point, which is blessing. Because it says in the text, there shall be showers of blessing. And I said, God, maybe the scribe forgot to put an S on the word blessings. And God said, no, my word is what it is. I put it that way for a purpose. Because the word blessings is material or immaterial things that come your way. Some call it God's unmerited favor. We call that grace. Other folk call it mercy when you don't get what you should have got. And I need you to know that blessings come in two forms, either grace or either mercy. I don't know about you if you figured it out yet, but every blessing you've ever got either falls in the category of grace or mercy. I've been through a storm. I've been through the rain. But God made a way out of no way. I didn't deserve it, but God blessed me anyhow. Or I shown up messed up. Yes, God, I'm guilty as charged. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have been there. I did it, God. I ask that you forgive me. And God says, I throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. You should be destroyed. You should be dead. You should be gone, but I'm gonna look beyond that thing and I'm gonna give you a second chance, a third chance, another chance. Has anybody ever gotten another chance? Thanks be to God. So your blessings may fall into the category of grace or mercy. But that's not the thing that God impressed upon me. What God impressed upon me is the Hebrew meaning of the word blessing. And when I think about the Hebrew word to bless, it is a verb which is not then a blessing thought of as a material thing, something I get, but blessing is something I do. Listen now, the word blessing in Hebrew is taken from the word Barak, B-A-R-A-K. Some of y'all didn't know that Barack Obama had in his first name the derivative of a Hebrew word that means bless. And how many of you know he sure enough is blessed to be the first black president of the United States? But listen, to Barack is to do something. It is to bless. But it isn't necessary to just bless your neighbor. It is to bless God. That's why David says, I will Barak, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Listen, let me work with this thing. In Hebrew, there is a statement that says, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'alam. It means that we bless you, O God, the great King of the universe. And so when our Hebrew brothers and sisters says, Baruch Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, it means that we bless you, God. We worship you, God. But here's the thing I like about it. In Hebrew, the word berek, listen, put that back up there. Barak means to bless. But berek with an E means to kneel down. You're not getting the point yet, are you? Because when you gonna bless God, you just can't come into God's presence any old way. You're not getting the point yet. If the Queen of England demands that her subjects kneel when they come into her presence, how much more should you and I kneel in the presence of Almighty God? I like the Queen, but last I checked, the Queen didn't die on a cross for me. Last I checked, the Queen didn't shed her blood for me. Last I checked, the Queen didn't have a crown of thorns for me. Last I checked, the Queen didn't have nails in her hand, nails in her feet. And if they can bow before the Queen, don't you know you can bow before the great God of heaven and earth? Come on, somebody. Barak God. Bow before him. But it gets even better. Barak means to bless. Barak means to kneel. Baruch with a U means that we come into the presence of God and we acknowledge who God is. So when my Jewish brothers and sisters, they don't say Barak El Adonai. They don't say Barak El Adonai. They say Baruch El Adonai. It means then that we, God, acknowledge who you are. We bring understanding that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We, God, understand that you are a way maker in the middle of my storm. We, God, understand that you are heavy load sharer in the midst of my situations. It is like saying, I understand, God, that you are bridge over troubled waters. I understand that you are a lawyer in a courtroom. I understand, God, that you are a doctor in a sick room. And I need somebody to understand who God is. Don't you know that he is God all by God's self? I bow down and I worship you, God. I kneel down before the King. I bow down and I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. I give you thanksgiving. I give you all that I am. I give you all that I have. I give you all that I want to be. You are God. Above you there is no other. I love you. I bless you. I magnify you, God. Come on, somebody. You've got to bow before the King. You've got to kneel before the God, your maker. And if you've shown up on a breakthrough, the lower you go, the higher God's going to take you. I don't know about you, but I've been in a situation when I just stretched out on the floor and I said, Lord, I can do nothing else. Lord, I've done everything I can. I'm giving it over to you, Lord. Work a miracle right now. Have your way, God. I Barak you. I kneel before you. I Baruch you. God bless you. As I go to my seat, listen, as I go to my seat, there's one more thing I need you to see in the text. It says that I will open for you and give you showers of blessing. So where I was focused on the blessing as plural and it was singular, I forgot to look at the showers, which are plural and not singular. Here's my point. That God won't just bless you once, But God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a continual shower. Come on, somebody, that won't stop. It's ever flowing. It's ever flowing. It's ever flowing. You just don't go through one dry spell. You go through multiple dry spells. But every dry spell I go through, God said, I'll send you a shower. Every devil that comes against you, I'll send you a shower. Every desert you go through, I'll send you another shower. Shower after shower after shower after shower after shower after blessing. It keeps on coming, y'all. And I'm so grateful today that God never runs out of blessings. I'm so grateful today that He's got everything I need, everything I want, everything I can go through. He's already got it, and all I need to do is kneel before Him and just hold Him up and exalt Him, lift Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men and women unto myself. All you gotta do is lift Him up. Lift Him up. And if you and I would heed the words to the text, I believe that you will have ever flowing showers that come into your situation. I've been in multiple dry places, y'all. But I'm here to tell you, He sent a shower in every single one of them. Yes, He has. And when I was in the middle of the desert, I didn't know how I was going to get out, Brother Jackson. But God stepped in right on time, made a way out of no way, crossed me over on dry land. And when I look back over my life, all I can say is that I've got a testimony. I've got a praise report. I've got something to say about the God I serve, that He is able. Yes, He is. And I need everybody here to hear the text for yourself. For yourself. Because where you are isn't where other folk are. Where you're about to go isn't where other folk are about to go. Where God is leading you, He may not be leading everybody. But I can tell you this, showers of blessings can come your way if you just exalt the King of Kings and exalt the Lord of Lords. Baruch atah El Adonai. Blessed are you, God, King of all the universe. I want you to remember this word. Barak, Barek, Baruch. In the name of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise offering. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend an invitation. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed are you, Lord. Blessed are you. I'm not coming to get something from you. I'm coming to give you blessings, God. Baruch atah Adonai. Does anybody want to give God a blessing today? The biggest blessing you can give God is yourself. Your commitment and your devotion. And if you know you've been out of fellowship, I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you. You don't know when Jesus is coming back again. Don't take the chance. get it right today. I've got deacons and deaconesses and clergy all over the sanctuary. They're there to pray for you and to walk with you. If you need special prayer, then just step on the aisle, grab one of their hands, and they'll pray with you. But the invitation today is really for those who want to join the church or those who want to give their life to Jesus today. Amen. Ask him if you want special prayer. And if not, he's coming. He's going to have special prayer. All right? Deacons and deaconess clergy, always ask if they're coming for special prayer. And if they are, pray with them right there. They don't have to go any further to find somebody to pray with. But if today you want to make a decision to join this church, then I invite you. Give me your hand and give God your heart. But more importantly than that is if you don't know the Lord for yourself. And I need you today, if you don't know him for yourself, to say, I'm going to make a decision. I want to get to know him for myself. I'm stepping out, preacher. I'm giving you my hand, but I'm giving God my heart. The men are going to sing, and as they sing, the invitation is extended to somebody. Membership in the church or relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and sing, gentlemen. Anybody here today? Look at God. Have prayer with him. Amen, 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 and amen. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? To leave me? Sing the song, gentlemen, sing it. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Look at you, young lady. God bless you. Ask her if she's coming for special prayer. Amen. God bless you, right? It's good to have you. Downstairs, all right. God bless you. Put your hands together. Give God a praise offering in this place. Is there anybody else? Oh, nobody told me. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Anybody else? I just don't believe. God didn't do it. I don't believe he brought me this far. Anybody else want to join, unite with the church today? Let go and let God. Say, Lord, I'm giving it over to you. In the name of Jesus. Get him another one. Anyone else today? Anyone else today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else today? Maybe there's someone over here in the center section. Anybody here in the center section? Anybody in the center section? Anybody here? Anybody over to my right? Anyone over to my right?
He brought me this far.
Anyone over to my right? Step out and let go and let God.
Let me sing it for you one more time.
Anybody over here?
I don't.
Anybody over
feel no waste time.
Anybody?
I've come too far from where I started from. Oh Lord, nobody told me.
God bless you. Maybe see
that the road would be easy. Oh, I don't believe he bought me this far. No, oh, I don't believe he brought me this far. I said I don't believe. I don't believe. I I don't believe he bought me this. Oh Lord, I don't believe. No, I don't. I said I don't believe. To leave me.
Come on, put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. I just don't believe he brought us this far, y'all. And if he's kept you this far, he's going to keep you through the rest of it, whatever it is. So I want to just remind you of showers of blessings. Showers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for what we have heard, seen, witnessed, and experienced. I pray that today's message would not fall on deaf ears, but that it would accomplish and draw someone closer to you. Bring them, Father, where you want them to be. We certainly will give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. If there's someone here who's on the brink of a decision, on the verge of a breakthrough, I pray that you would tip them over, cause them to step out and say, "Preacher, wait, wait, preacher. Tomorrow is not promised and the rest of today is not guaranteed. I want to seek Jesus today, right now, while I can." And so if God, if there's one more person here, we'll just ask that you would move them to where you want them to be. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. I'm going to take one more minute before the deacons and the deaconess and the clergy take their seat. Take one more minute. My spirit says that there may be one more person who's here today. He's praying about this decision. Minister White, is that a young lady coming up from the youth ministry? Amen. Give God a praise offering. Is this another young lady over here to my right?